What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hello, everyone. I'm Devin Simone.
And I'm Tori Deal, and this is MTV's official challenge podcast.
It is the week of a shift in power. I mean, yes. Looks like the vets are back on the bottom and the rookies are taking control. How do you feel about that, Tori?
God, I mean, there was a lot going on in this episode, you know, and I do think it's really interesting watching last week to this week. You can see two totally different stories unfold. Mm-hmm. And I think that as we talk about this episode, I think it is important to go back to last week and see how the politics of the game has flowed so we can kind of talk about the things that weren't really touched on, because you're right. There was like a major shift this week. Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, it started with me walking into the girls' room trying to figure out like, okay, who threw their balls on me, you know? So it set us up for this interesting dynamic. I had thought that I had been working with Desi and Chanel. Obviously, I found out I wasn't. They thought they were working with Michelle, which now leads up to this point where it's like, okay, who's going to win this daily challenge? Because whoever does, it's going to dictate the next moves in the game.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how mad were you when you realized that Destiny's Child had betrayed you?
Is it a sick thing to say that I was happy?
Wait, like, why?
Okay. Because, like you hear me say in the beginning of the episode, I was like, if I win, I'm going to throw them in. And right. I was, it would have given me the perfect reason to.
Right.
And so I was trying to play this game diplomatically. And if I would have had power, then I would have now taken a shot because there was mm-hmm. I would have been firing back, so to speak.
Right.
But I didn't get that opportunity. You know, the challenge was what the challenge was. I mean, it was called brain squeeze. It doesn't even sound fun.
It definitely doesn't.
Like, it was hard. We had to run through that temple, whatever you want to call it, get all those puzzle pieces. We didn't know how many there were. We're all going at the same time, crawling under these small little holes, breathing in dust. It was a really intense challenge. And I think that it was really clear, which I didn't see at the time, and I think a lot of the vets weren't paying attention to, mm-hmm. how much closer the Survivor Alliance was kind of rebuilding after the fall of Michelle.
Yeah. They were kind of like the Roman Empire. Like, they were coming, which, by the way, side note, I don't know if you heard about that study about how guys think about the Roman Empire on a regular basis. So weird.
What?
But yes, apparently, ask any guy you know, you listeners as well, and then DM us and let us know what you find. But it seems like guys think about it a lot. But that's kind of what this group was, and they rebuilt, and they were coming back, the Survivor Alliance. And yeah, maybe you guys, the vet, sort of took for granted just how powerful, especially because the numbers are smaller now. So before, we're having just 4 people in a group or 5 people wasn't enough to sway the house. Now, that's about half the house, pretty much.
Right. 100%. And I think, like you said, you know, you have somebody like Johnny who you look to Johnny Bananas in a game and you think, okay, he's got it all figured out. When he makes a mistake and everyone's kind of following his lead with 7 puzzles, you go along with it. And, you know, the survivors are now having to really put their brains on and really think about. They're calculating where they are in these tunnels. Michaela's making sure she's going all the way down to the opposite side so she can gauge what's over there. They're actually working as a collective unit, whereas the vets, we were not. And it showed this episode. But it also, you know, goes to show, like, listen, that's what's great about this season. If the pendulum doesn't swing, who the hell wants to watch it?
Yeah, I agree. This season is twists and turns at every angle, which is so fascinating and fun to watch. And it's, I'd say, one of the most impressive showings of rookies we've ever seen. And I still don't know how the season ends, but this is probably the first time where I really feel like it really is anyone's game. You know what I mean? Like, Banana's still in the game. You're still in the game. But who the heck knows who's coming out on top with that? Because, I mean, Chanel, Michaela, like, all of them are excellent contenders. Josh mm-hmm. has proven himself a million and a half times. Or not Josh. Literally not Josh. Sorry, Josh. Chris has proven himself a million and a half times in this season.
Yikes.
And so it's just, well, I love you, Josh. But it's true. But Chris has gone down so many times, come back. Like, it really is kind of anyone's game. So we see Chris and Desi take the lead and win this daily challenge. Then we go into the voting, where ultimately they decide Josh and Michelle, which I feel like the Josh vote was kind of a surprise. It seemed like to a lot of people in the house. It was definitely a surprise to me. Was it a surprise to you?
100%. I thought it definitely would have been Fessy. Like Fessy or Banana. Oh, no, not Bananas. I thought it would have been Fessy. Fessy put him up twice.
Yeah. Like, which is an easy reason to be like, I'm going to go back at you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, like, you know, there's a lot of reasons why he could have voted for him. I think that maybe when we talk to Michelle, we'll have more insight and we can dive into that a little bit deeper. But I do think it was a shocker to the house. But ultimately, it was a shock to see Josh not break through a wall when he heard the news.
Yeah. Talk about growth. I mean, good on Josh. He did threaten that if he went in, he's going to come back and wants to throw himself in next week, which I feel like is a little much, Josh. Dial it back. But baby steps. We're taking baby steps in the right direction. So props to Josh for that. Ultimately, we see it become a girl's day. And I think it's interesting that, like, you know, Michaela was sort of politicking that it be a girl's day, and Desi as well, even to Bananas. And Bananas was saying, like, that's what they already were wanting, was a girl's day. I am curious how you manage not to get any votes.
This is the interesting part. And I think that we don't get to see it yet, because and this is kind of what I was touching on in the very beginning when I introed how different it is from last week. Because exactly, you had Michaela in a position where she was absolutely gunning for me. You have Michaela in a position right now where she could very easily secretly put my ball in the hopper, and she doesn't. So she comes up to me prior to the vote and lets me know that she wants to make amends. And obviously you take everything with a grain of salt. But at this point, I had already talked to Michelle. I had known that she didn't want to go up against Michaela. It was very easy for me to not put my ball on Michaela. But I was shocked, because I was almost certain that they were going to come back to me and throw it my way. But I think when Desi did what she did, Desi went out of her way, and you see multiple interviews where I truly listen. Like, I could be biased because she's talking about me. But I believe her. I think she has a heart of gold.
I do too.
Like, I think it's very authentic, and I think when she does this, it kind of pivots the way their alliance is looking at the way they're playing the game for a moment. And by Desi writing that wrong and not throwing me under the bus, I think she kind of set an example now for also Chanel and Michaela to follow by hopefully building more trust with me again. So I got to credit maybe Desi for this.
Are they Desi aside, are they succeeding, mainly Michaela and Chanel, in building trust with you, or are you just counting down the days till you can fire shots back?
You know, I, like I said, if I would have had the opportunity in this episode, I was definitely going to throw them in.
Yeah.
One of them. I don't know who.
Yeah.
It could have been any of them, right?
Yeah.
But when I saw these votes go down and I saw that I didn't get any, knowing now that we have one more daily challenge coming up.
Yeah,
it did make me believe, like, okay, well, listen, this is as far as you can go in the game before. Like, you really don't take people to a final. You know, you take them as far as you can. So it was kind of like this last little bit of hope that I do feel like, looking back on the season, even though we've had our ups and downs, in the very, very future, is there a possibility of us working together? Yeah, I'd like to think so. Why don't you work with strong people, you know, who win things? And I'm not saying Cassidy's not strong. She wins things. I would love to work with Cassidy in the future, too. But mostly people who win daily challenges, because then you can avoid eliminations.
Right. You know? We're all about avoiding those eliminations, let me tell you.
So I would say I would say that the trust is that rebuilt, but
it's building a little. I kind of feel like Michaela realized she effed up and then was, I mean, sure, they all effed up, but I feel like Michaela was the vocal one who multiple times was really trying to, like, go after you, and then realized that, much like a cockroach, you're a little harder to get rid of. And therefore, she was backtracking a smidge. It's really interesting they didn't show that, especially because we see her, someone who stands so strong in her votes, her opinions, her whatever, that she was on the back end kind of coming in, and that her game's a little messy, which is the same thing she accused Michelle of. So then we get to ultimately the voting. So it's Josh, Michelle, the hopper selects Cassidy. I will say this. I felt bad for Cassidy First of all, y'all don't let up. And second of all, she has been put down there so many times. Like, my heart goes out for poor Cassidy. But she manages to pull out the win for Michelle. I feel like Michelle was already thinking of her Uber Eats order about halfway into the elimination. She was just over it, out of it. Sad to see Michelle go home. But feeling... It was tough to watch because I do like watching Michelle's gameplay. But I felt good for Cassidy, who it just feels like she keeps getting, you know, pushed in and all of that stuff to see her come out victorious like that. And it seems like maybe she's making an ally with Michaela because Michaela was trying to help her a lot in that elimination. And I know it was mainly to kind of get Michelle out, but I don't know. Maybe Cassidy can parlay that into sort of an alliance towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, Desi was able to do that with Chris this time around by telling Chris that there was more. It does happen. You do see alliances rebuild. I think ultimately it comes down to who's in power with who.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you're one person. So I think that there's this episode was a lot. And honestly, rewatching it reminded me of how intense it was living in the house at that time. Mm-hmm. Honestly, from a competitor's perspective, we count the weeks that we're there. We know the deadline that we're going home.
Right.
We try to figure out the schedule. We try to look at it. We have a pen. We draw all our calendars and we try to figure out how many days are we here. We really thought this was the last elimination. So when we found out we had another challenge and then obviously seeing everything Michelle was going through, you see Josh having tears this episode. Desi has tears this episode. Like, I'm sure more people did and you just don't see it. Fessy was definitely crying in the shower. That's 100% where he does it. You know? And I'm just kidding. You know, he's not. But like,
no, he probably
maybe
would.
He is.
Yeah, you know, Bananas was. You know, Bananas was. Speaking of, before we get to our interview with Michelle, you know, I got to ask your gold star of the week and your timeout of the week.
Come on. Okay. My gold star is for the camera guy for blurring out the banana on Johnny's walk up to voting. I thought that was so funny. I laughed out loud.
That was funny. That was very, very cute. Who gets your timeout?
My timeout. Listen, it should be Michelle because obviously she had a messy game, right? So, but I'm biased because she didn't vote for me. So there's no way I'm giving my gold star to Michelle. I'm going to give it to Michaela for airing out Michelle like that and also not recognizing that she also has played a game in which, you know, she's pointing a lot of fingers at Michelle, but she could be pointing a lot back at her. I'm saying this as somebody who she's gunned for multiple times in this game. So I would have to just go with Michaela's gameplay in this one.
Interesting. I'd say my gold star would have to go towards Dr. Desi. I like seeing her get a win. It always breaks my heart hearing when she says she's been doubting herself in the house just because I look at her as such an epic competitor with so much potential. And I like the way that she tries to play with integrity. I actually like the way that she kind of owned up her F up. Everybody makes those mistakes. But I love how she said, look, I don't want this game to take me out of my character. I love for that, live for that. So my gold star would be Dr. Desi. And then my time out of the week, you know, that's tough. I'd probably say it has to go to Bananas. Only because
this all makes more sense.
One, he left a banana peel on the floor. Pick up your garbage. But also because he knows better. Like, you've done this so many times, you know better. And you really just kind of let part of your game be dependent on this person who you still are figuring out. You don't actually know that well. And so I was surprised that he did that. And so I'd have to give him, am I really mad at him for it? Of course not. But I feel like to know better is to do better, Nanners. And, you know, that's not the person to trust.
I think your gold star and your timeout are way better than mine. So let's go with yours.
We can do, it's not a, this is not an elimination called Hot Wheel, Tori. You would beat my ass in that. I can't even imagine. I can't, and it was raining. I cannot even imagine. I do not blame Michelle one bit. But it was interesting to watch. This whole episode is interesting to watch. And the way it gets kind of messy, and I feel like it's just going to get messier. But why don't we take a pause and hear from the queen of messiness herself? I'm talking about Michelle Fitzgerald. We have an exclusive interview with her. We're going to find out about her connection to Tom Holland. We are going to find out about where she stands with some of the castmates now and what was going through her head this season, as well as some behind the scenes. And you are not going to want to miss this at all. We're getting that much closer to the final, y'all. So grab a snack, some treats, whatever. Buckle up, because we have Michelle Fitzgerald coming up next.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
She is a 2-time Survivor finalist and winner, 4-time challenger, the queen of the Micheltdown, and someone who is just fun to watch and talk to all around. Please give it up for Michelle Fitzgerald. Woo!
Yay!
Welcome, Michelle. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here again. Always a pleasure to join you girls.
Good. Thanks. How are you feeling? Because you came in nervous when we first jumped on to record this episode. You were giving a nervous energy around, I don't know whether it was being on the podcast or just how your game has played out this season. But what were you most nervous about, or what are you nervous about?
I still feel nervous even right now talking about anything and any reason.
Why?
Any decision ever in my life, I'm nervous. The reason that I made the decision that I made. I just love to light myself on fire and watch it all. So this should probably just be on par with that. So I assume this will be on brand.
Well, since you're talking about lighting yourself on fire, now this is a stretch what I'm trying to connect here, but that means you're hot, right? And who else thinks you're hot, or at least thinks your gameplay is? Tom Holland.
Yes.
How does it feel to be Tom Holland's favorite Survivor competitor?
I geeked out when I heard that. I literally went around. I was filming when I found that out for 39. And I ran around to every single person. Because there's no news and no pieces of information when you're in that house. So having something like that to brag about, I went up to everybody like 10 times over and I was like, guys, Tom Holland is a fan, you know, like Zendaya's boyfriend, you know, Spider-Man, you know, the guy. I was like, I don't care if everybody else hates me. Tom Holland loves me.
Dude, that's a fact. And I think that like, and I know what it's like to be in the house and have literally nothing to talk about and have it be super stressful. Obviously, we got a glimpse of that with this entire episode. So let's just go back to the beginning of your season this time around. Obviously, you were in a very blessed position, which you knew was eventually going to come with having to pick a side. So looking back on it all, did you think it was going to last as long as it did, that you'd be able to ride both alliances?
To be honest, no. I was surprised that it lasted as long as it did. And there was definitely moments in the middle, specifically surrounding like around when Wes was under in the hot seat, where it was kind of like, you know, Corey was like, Wes is really saying like, you have to pick a side, choose a side. I'm like, if they feel that I need to pick a side right now, then they're not the side for me, because the other side isn't asking me to pick a side. So I was kind of just like, the fact that it all went from like targeting the vets, and then a lot of the vets that I didn't want to work with left, and the vets that I did want to work with stayed. And then it kind of shifted to this polarization between Survivor and Big Brother. It was like perfect timing, shifting attention off of you guys that I wanted to work with onto people who I wasn't working with. So like the way that the game kind of shuffled up always just happened to sort of be to my advantage. And then as we see, when I really had to like figure it out, I didn't figure it out. I couldn't figure it out. And so I got myself in the hot seat. So
I mean, but was that you not figuring it out? I feel like at that point it was sort of you had a 50-50 chance, right? Because you did have to pick a side. So it could have either worked in your favor or it didn't. It wasn't so much of as messy at that point as much as like, you know, you kind of flip a coin and you got to go with whichever direction you go. But, and I love the overview you just gave, but we really want to know, how the hell did you manage to get it to go so long? Like, what were you telling people in the back office, in the back room, in the dungeon, as we've heard about, to manage? Because everyone, it seems, at a point, everyone realized that you were playing both sides. And yet, no one seemed to really be coming at you for it that much. And they say that you are, you know, really good at maneuvering, you know, emotions and reading people and all of that. Like, what are, say, even two, like, secret ingredients to the Michelle gameplay of managing to keep both sides off your back for so long?
Well, I think to a degree, like I know with Tori, like a lot of the times I was really like, I have these relationships with Survivor. I'm not trying to hide that. So like, I think just being really honest about the fact that like when Survivors would ask me who my number one alliance was, like I pretty much was open about the fact that it was Bessie for the guys. And for the girls, I was just kind of like, I don't really know. So like, I never really pretended that I wasn't. And I think that
right.
for the most part, it was also to Survivor and the Vets' advantage to have me there still. So I think it wasn't really much me maneuvering so much as like I could keep most of Survivor's name out of the hot seat with the Vets, and I could keep the Vets' name sort of out of Survivor's mouth. So I was kind of playing that middle ground where everybody saw it to be advantageous to be working with me. And I think that was I think that that's kind of the sweet spot. And I wasn't really a threat to anybody. Clearly, I'm not the most physically, like, you know, big competitor. So I think everybody was just kind of like, yeah, you know what? She's not bothering anyone. Just let her go. Do her thing. So.
And also, like, we have known you, or at least a lot of us have known you for so long, right? Like, we've played multiple seasons with you. We know your heart. We've kind of seen the ups and downs of your gameplay over years, at least the Challenge Vets have. So. Do you think, like, if you could go back to day one and you had to make the decision of which alliance you would have worked with, would it have been the Vets because you would have known us? Or do you think that you would have found us much more of a threat and decided to stick with Survivor early on?
I honestly don't know. I think that why I found myself in such a tricky situation is because I do know you guys. So I feel I have a more personal relationship with you guys. I've lived with every single one of the Vets before, with the exception of Wes. And John A. So I've never met most of these survivors before. And if I have, it's been in passing at maybe one event where I've heard their names, but I have a responsibility, and like how I feel is that I have a responsibility to the survivor community as a whole. I've went into the challenge world, and a lot of these people I wanted to handhold them through the process of entering this new realm for them. And I wanted to make sure that it was a good experience and that they did last as long as they could. So I was really torn between like my actual friends that I felt, and then also like this community that I've cultivated for almost 10 years of my life, which is the Survivor community. You know, a lot of them have watched me play, looked up to me, have been rookies in the most recent season. So like, I was really kind of torn between both, and I didn't know the right answer.
In three words, Michelle, how would you describe your gameplay?
I would say emotional, social, and adaptable.
Okay. And walk us through not voting for Tori less. So ultimately, when your feet were kind of held to the fire and you know, the numbers have dwindled down in this game, you do kind of have to make a choice. And you choose not to vote for Tori, knowing that that's going to kind of show your hand, right? Or you're kind of like drawing a line in the sand with the Survivor girls. Can you share with us your thought process behind that decision?
there were so many reasons that I made that decision. Honestly, it wasn't as simple as like, oh, like one singular thing. Like, of course I have a relationship with Tori, and that, you know, the entire game, I never once had to question her loyalty at any point to me. And I really, really loved that and appreciated that and wanted to give it back. Same with Cassidy, to be perfectly honest. And if I had nominated Tori, it would have been also a shot at Cassidy. So that was, you know, one portion of my thinking. Also, simultaneously, a lot of the guys that I had been working with felt like they needed it to be a guy's day. They really wanted that. And so I was kind of letting that also influence my decision making. And what really isn't seen is that when Michaela won last episode, she was really trying to throw any girl like in the hot seat so that it would be a girl's day. And I felt like she was not getting any of the heat that, you know, that comes with that. She was throwing the bus, Desi under the bus, whatever. So she, like, to me, it was almost just an act of rebellion against what Michaela wanted.
When you said she was throwing Desi under the bus, Chanel under the bus, how is Michaela throwing them under the bus the week prior when she won? Like,
the week prior when she had won, her goal was to get Tori as the main vote.
Right.
And then wanted to get a strong woman out.
Right.
So she went up to them and was like, I want it to be Tori so I can get a strong person out. And Desi and Chanel are like, okay, that's me. And so for me, I was like, oh, like, okay, they just let Michaela get away with just whatever Michaela needs to get away with. And she's again pitching another girls' week. For me, it was like an act of rebellion. Like, you don't get to navigate, you don't get to dictate when this girls' week happened, how it happens, and who goes in. So I just, like, I don't know. I play emotional. I can't help it. So it was kind of all of those things conjoined.
And ultimately, it just came to a point in the game. Like, you made a decision, and you look at the picture, and if any of the other guys won but Chris, you would have been fine.
Yeah.
And they probably would have held your vote out and your name out of the vote, and you would have been safe. But it was literally the combination of Desi and Chris winning that put you in this predicament, because you had to make a risky decision, which way are you going to fall? And you're assuming that one of the other guys that you're working with are going to win, and they didn't. So it's just a gamble, and it just happened to not work in your favor. So as much as, like, I know how, and I understand how it can be emotional to, like, make decisions in this game, but also, like, you do it and you just kind of got to stick with it, because you never know who's going to win the next week, and you just kind of hope the person that you aligned with does. And other than that, there's really not much you can do. But how important do you think it is to have alliances in this game, and specifically in this week? Like, were you setting yourself up now that you've crossed your old alliance? Were you just fully ready to ride with the vets from here on out?
I think that, I don't know. I honestly, it's hard for me to put myself back in that place. I think so. I think for me, it was kind of like, we're right tiptoeing near the edge of like this final. And so it was kind of like, I honestly was just thinking, like, how the hell can I scrap my way there? And how can I piss as few people off as possible while doing it? And I just was playing with my gut and my intuition and trying to go with that as much as possible. And, like, sometimes it's like, you can try to justify the decisions that you make in this game all that you want and say that they're strategic or whatever it is. But sometimes it's just your gut guiding you and leading you. And it might just be as simple as that, you know, and that's kind of how I felt with protecting you, with protecting Cassidy, with voting in Chris, who had said my name prior a few episodes before. So I was going with my gut.
Why did you ultimately decide? I mean, I think I know why you did it, but I'm just curious for confirmation. Why did you decide to come clean to the other girls and tell them you didn't vote for Tori after we saw last week's elimination? Because it looks like you didn't tell them beforehand, but once that elimination occurred, you went back into the house and shared with them what happened. Why did you do that?
I actually did tell them beforehand.
Oh, really?
Yes. I had told them as soon as I had voted. So I told them, like, well, it wasn't before the vote. And that was the real issue, is that I do think that if I had told them prior to the vote, potentially they could have moved off of Tori and onto Chris. And I'm finding this out kind of like later. And so I think that that's why they were so hurt. Okay. But I kind of waited until after I had made that vote already to tell them. And then Tori had entered the room, and I was like, I don't want to throw them further under the bus. So what also wasn't shown is me being like, Tori, it could have been any one of us did it, even though Tori knew that I didn't do it. It was just like, I took a shovel and I just, like, dug my own grave. And I just like,
Tori's making a face. Tori's making a face at that. Wait, what?
I was flabbergasted. When I walked in the room, I was for sure. I was like, it was definitely Desi and Chanel. And Michelle looks at me and she goes, it was me. Yeah. And I go, what? Like, I, at that point in time, was, I truly felt blindsided. I'm like, okay, what are you talking about? I was like, that's the weirdest shit I've ever heard, Michelle. You just told me that these girls are trying to, that are probably going to say my name. And then you're the one who did it. So eventually she came out because she felt so bad that she basically corralled Desi and Chanel to vote for me and then didn't. So then she tried to take the heat for it. But it was just such a bizarre conversation. And then Desi was like, let me just like fess up. You know, I actually did. And then that's kind of when the waterworks started happening from Desi, which, you know, obviously I think she's, as much as people use tears in this game to, you know, seek, I don't know, empathy and pity, I also think that it's very authentic because the game is very stressful.
Right.
So I took it as face value. Michelle, I thought your tears were real. I thought Desi's were real. Like, it's such an emotional game and people don't give enough people credit for crying there. We saw three people cry this episode. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah. This point in the game, it felt like a lot.
I mean, Michelle, it sounds like you were doing a lot. So you, okay, like, just so I'm clear. All right. So you don't vote Tori in because you decide, okay, that's a smarter move. You have to kind of make a decision. Cool. Then you tell the girls right after you make the vote, but before the elimination, that you tell the girls, being what I refer to as Destiny's Child, but Chanel, Michaela, and Desi, that you didn't vote the way they expected you to, right? That you didn't vote Tori in. Then afterwards, you tell Tori you were the one who voted her in, and you tell her that in front of the other girls because you're trying to take the heat off. And then that's just a, Michelle, you were doing a lot.
Desi had said that she told Tori that she didn't vote her. And so I asked Desi to then take further heat for backtracking on that. And so I was like, I will take the heat as the person who voted you. But then it was like, when we're sitting in this room, it was like, this is just too messy. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I'll also own my part in it, which my part is that I should have told them sooner. Right. So like, it is messy. Like, that's what I mean. Listen, I don't know if it's Michelle Town or if it's Michelle or what the fuck it is, but I just can't seem to like figure out. It's that I have a lot of guilt. Like, I think that that's why I end up crying a lot of times. Like, if I just owned the things that I did, this is what I saw in Ride or Dies too, is that when I make a decision, I need to just stand on that and be confident in that. And it always ends up that I just like don't have the backbone to do that for some reason. And so I'm a work in progress. But ultimately, I was glad that I didn't vote Tori. Like, I would not have wanted to say her name. Chris had wronged me. And so I made the right decision for me. And that should be simple enough. Like,
I just say, watching you from Ride or Dies to now, I do think we see a stronger, more secure Michelle in standing in her decisions and her choices, both in their interview, which you've been very entertaining in your talking heads, love, but also in the choices you've made so far. Like, yes, this episode was messy as hell. But other than that, I feel like compared to Ride or Dies, where it felt kind of hard to follow your thought process some of the time. Like, it was really like, oh, she's making this harder for it. Like, it just didn't add up here. I feel like we saw a much more strategic, you know, whether you agreed with it or not, Michelle, in a way that worked well for you up until, I mean, look how far you made it. If your point was to try and grow and own your decisions more, I definitely feel like as a viewer, we see that, you know, in this season more than the last. So go ahead, girl, give yourself a pat on the back, because
it's just a little bit easier when you're also playing like solo. Like, having Jay as a guy was definitely like playing in a pair is a lot. You have to take into their feelings, their perceptions, their whatever. So you're kind of push and pull and compromise like a marriage. So this day can kind of just like do my own thing, make the decisions that I feel like are good for me, and then kind of glide in and out. And that's what I did.
Absolutely. And I think that, like, this is what, your fourth TV show technically, or fifth? Which one?
Fifth.
And like, think about that. Like, there's so many players who've been playing for, I mean, this is like my 11th. Obviously you saw me in Ride or Die. I was an absolute, also I was having Michelle Downs on Ride or Die, you know, like we all have those moments when we lose it. But I definitely think, like Devin was saying, your trajectory has gone up and your ability to cope with really difficult political situations has gotten a lot better. So it makes me wonder, do you feel like the Michelle Down phrase is a fair phrase? Like, do you hate the nickname? Do you like it? Where are you at with it?
Well, I don't think anybody likes to be labeled as somebody who has meltdowns, but, you know, it's a horse that has stripes is a zebra. Like, you have to call it a zebra. So it's just, it is what it is.
Turn it into merch, Michelle. I don't know why there's not already a Shopify, www.michelledown.com. I don't know why there aren't hats and t-shirts and all the things, because own it. Like, absolutely. Plus, you can send one to Tom Holland and Zendaya. So I don't know what you're waiting on.
Driver version of me, where he thinks that I'm put together and that I know what I'm doing. He doesn't need to know about this portion of
He didn't actually like say that, did he, in the interview? Like, maybe he likes the messy. Because look, the messy kind of works in a way. Like, it's both entertaining, but it is hard to follow. Which, you know, there's some animals in the wild where that is their strategy, is just to like confuse. You said a zebra, a horse with stripes is a zebra, which is a weird analogy, but kind of true. But, you know, that's their mode of survival, is the stripes are supposed to confuse their predators. Like, they don't really recognize or know what's going on. They don't know the front from the back. And then that's how they stay safe. So, see, like,
look at you, Devin.
Maybe you're confusing. Look at that.
We had Nigel Thornberry hosting the podcast. Yeah, Devin.
Wow, you've watched some Planet Earth in your life.
No, I was just in Africa for our honeymoon, so I listened to all the fun facts they gave. Oof, we are getting into it. All right, we have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back after this.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Let's talk a little bit about this week's challenge, you guys, because it was so interesting. Oh, first God. Thing I want to know is approximately how long do you think you guys had to run? Like, how many miles? Because everyone seemed pretty gassed by the end. So how long of a run, or how far do you guys think that was?
I mean, we were definitely running nonstop for at least 40 minutes, maybe 45. Wow. And so if I'm going at the pace that I think that we're going, it had to be at least 3.5-4 miles, because there was many times when we were crawling, you know, we weren't just running. We were crawling through those tunnels. This episode didn't really do the holes justice. We were so, it was terrifying. And I loved that you said, Michelle, for this isn't great for somebody with claustrophobia. It wasn't great for somebody without it. I was like, this is about to crumble on our head. This is an ancient cathedral with, like, God only knows what's happened in here. For sure there was corpse down there. And was brutal. It must have been 3 or 4 miles, but I don't know, Michelle, what do you think? And would you label this as the hardest challenge of the season?
Yes, I was wheezing. I was like, you know, I've hit a few rumble classes. Like, I jog every once in a while, do Pilates. Okay, I was very ill-prepared. Like, honey, that her cardio needs to lift a little bit. I was like sitting there like, okay, so this is where I die. I don't even need to predict, because I'm already in the crypts. No, I was like, just leave me here. Leave me here. Continue on without me. This game is already, I'm already going under anyways. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, listen, it was tough. And I think the hardest part about it was obviously the puzzle pieces, because you're pushing so hard to get six. Everyone thinks there's six, and then there's a seventh, and then eighth. Like, it was just nuts.
Was Johnny naive to believe Michaela? And were you guys talking amongst yourselves? Because we see that scene where Michaela tells Johnny, you know, there's no more, whatever, there's seven. But we didn't really see, like, the Vets Alliance or anyone else. Were you all kind of communicating with one another around how many pieces there were, or what was going on?
Well, I think that everybody was on their own path. Everyone was running at different paces. So you were kind of like with people that, when you were with them. And honestly, the only person that I was, you saw me like with Chanel the entire time, pretty much. And I asked her as she went down, I was like, are there three down there or two? Are there two down there, that long tunnel? And she told me three. But same way, I was like, so she didn't lie to me the way Michaela lied to Johnny. But I'm like, is she lying to me right now? So I am surprised that Johnny didn't question it, because I then went back and referenced that.
Oh, so you knew there. So wait, so some of you guys did find out in real time that there were eight pieces.
Yeah.
So then who was the last, you know, was Johnny one of the last ones to find out about eight? He was. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I had went all the way down that tunnel to get my piece, and I was the last girl. And I was like, what the hell are these bags still down here? Like, they're all up building. So I like looked at the colors and I came up and I was like, who's yellow? Who's pink? Who's whatever? I was like, y'all still have bags all the way down. And then that's when they sprinted down. This is like, I'm like, you're yellow. I just saw your bag. You do not have all of your pieces. Yeah. So at that point, it was too late. I mean, Chris was way ahead anyways. So yeah. The girls were a little bit more even, I would say.
Yeah, we were. Because Michaela, myself, and Desi all had our pieces, and we were all calling for checks.
Yeah.
And what was the trick to organize? Because it looked like just inches. Some blocks. What exactly?
Just inches. Basically, like, the slots were in different portions of the block. So you would put it on, and if half of the lip hung over, then it wasn't a correct match. So it was basically trial and error for every single piece.
I'm almost positive that there was a strategy. I'm pretty sure that I don't know why I'm explaining this, but the prongs at the bottom needed to be prongs, not open lips. So you can kind of dictate like where the way at least the puzzle piece was supposed to like fit in. So there was a hack to it. It's just that it just was like kind of bulky, weird pieces.
Yeah, they were heavy.
Yeah.
And we were absolutely gasped. I do think that Johnny was naive to believe Michaela, though. Out of like all his experience, and obviously they were trying to work together, but like, you know, come on, dude, you're playing a game. Everyone's competing. People are trying to throw each other off. Like, everyone's got a motive in this game.
And Michaela's super strategic. I mean, we are seeing that. I hope moving forward, everyone side eyes her, not in a bad way, but like, she is showing that she is very smart. She's very strategic, and she will do, like we've talked about this before, Tori, she will switch into sort of a logical mode where it doesn't matter if you're friends or how close. Someone else on this podcast, whose middle name is Patricia, sometimes gets into a similar mode where they will just do whatever, you know, they feel works in the game. And Michaela is one of them. And so, yeah, Michaela's giving you quote unquote tips. I would side-eye that tip, because unless it benefits her directly, she's probably not giving you advice that's going to give you, you know, an edge, which, you know, arguably smart.
Are you referring to when Michelle and I were in Spelunkers and I didn't give her the code for cats?
Absolutely. When Tori slunk out of the water, she just like stepped back slowly when she figured out what the post secret word was, and then just disappeared in the water, even though she promised you all that she would help share the answer. Michelle, would you like to speak on that for a moment? How did you feel in that moment?
I did not care about the second portion of the puzzle, because then I knew if she told me, it would have been a foot race. And I knew that I think me and Tori are pretty both like evenly matched.
Michelle's a way better swimmer than me. She's given me way too much credit. She's a way better swimmer.
You know, you already had the advantage. You could have just yelled back at Kat. But, you know, dance. It's fine. I don't take things personally in the game, which is so counterintuitive to it seems that everybody takes things personally when I do them. But it is what it is.
Okay, so speaking of not taking things personally, when you do start to go into the Michelle down, which I hope you don't mind. I actually think that name is just so brilliant. I am serious. If you do not put out a t-shirt and quickly and put a copyright on that, Michelle, you are missing out. Passive income. It's easy to do. But when you and Michaela start to get into it, tell us about the feelings real time, that moment. And then where do you all stand today now? Like, did you take none of that personally? Because it seemed like it got pretty heated.
So it's interesting, because that was a much, much longer fight than what was shown.
How so? Give us some behind the scenes. What do you mean?
That one seemed like, you know, I was the one like kind of floundering through the conversation. But there was also a lot being exposed on the other side of things, ways that I felt that Michaela was playing the game shady. So it was like, you know, she just has her gun pointed at me that I'm the shady one. And I'm like, you're doing the same exact thing. Our guns are pointed at each other. Like, you know, I think Michaela has this, oftentimes has this way of being like, my way is the right way. And it's like, Michaela, there's a lot of right ways. There's a lot of ways to play this game. And, you know, she can do something and it's no fault on her. But if somebody else does it, then we're all at fault. And I think it's, I don't know. I this is my second time playing with Michaela. I find her to be difficult for me personally to play with. And I think she finds me to be difficult to play with. She's very, very logical. And I'm very, very emotional. And that's always been, we had Desi and Chanel a lot of times as the middleman between navigating conversations between me and her. We always wanted the same thing, but we go about it two separate ways. She doesn't like the way I move. I don't necessarily like the way that she moves. You know, she, for me, she'll be like, oh, Michelle, somebody said your name. Be careful. People are, somebody said your name. I'm like, oh my God, who said my name? Tell me so I can be wary of them so I don't share information. She's like, no, 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 that's the information. I'm not going to tell you who. So it's like, she gives me a little bit, but not the whole thing. And that's always infuriating to me. And she gets infuriated with me because I play emotionally. And she's like, shut those off. So like, we bicker in our, you know, we were working together this entire game. And we fought basically the whole way through the season up until when it exploded. So
both of you guys are messy. Basically, you guys are messy, but in different ways. Like, you guys cause a little bit of chaos, but with maybe different motives behind it or in different ways is what it sounds like.
I think it was really beneficial for me and her in our relationship. Listen, we want to be friends. We are friends, but it's very, very difficult when you're such different people to figure out that communication gap. And you know, we had Tiffany, we had Chanel, we had Desi. A lot of the times, if I had a problem or she had a problem, we'd pull them in to actually like decode what the other one is
saying. Yeah.
And that's not easy to work with somebody like that. And, you know, she felt like I was like playing shady. And I felt like I was constantly having to like battle to make her believe that I could be trustworthy. And it's like neither one are a good combination to be in alliance together. So yeah, it was not easy. And it just was bound to blow up eventually.
Yeah. I think ultimately, like, you both have strong views on the game. And I think that your views actually come off more subtle, even though they're just as strong, you know, how you want to work with people and the emotional aspect that you play with, it gets you far. But ultimately, like you said, yeah, it's an obvious clash. Like, her views are very loud. She's very opinionated and she tries to make big strategic moves, which is amazing to watch. Like, obviously, I've been on the shit end of it for multiple times now. But as a viewer, you're like, wow, somebody really goes out there with a lot of tenacity to go out there and say, fuck this. I want to do this. I'm inspired. Yeah. Like, I don't know if it would be good for my political game. I think I kind of have to ride with the way you play, Michelle. But like, it is inspiring to see someone just go out there and say, fuck it. I'm going to do whatever I want. But I understand why you play the way you play, because you try to take everybody's emotions into consideration. So it makes a lot of sense. And I know that you had to go up against Cassidy in this episode, and obviously you guys were good friends. Talk to us why you think she got so many votes in the hopper this time.
Well, I think most people wanted to give me the best shot. I think that they felt that Cassidy was that for me. And it was definitely difficult. I felt like I didn't want to go again. At this point, I wouldn't have wanted to go against anybody, so there was really no great scenario. I tried to make sure that I wasn't like politicking a certain name, but I think a lot of people wanted to do me a favor and knew that Cassidy would be my best option as somebody that they thought I could be. And so, yeah, that's how it ended up. But Cassidy prior to this has definitely played very like, you know, she's been just like Michaela, pretty bold and fearless in a lot of her decision-making. And so that's pissed people off. It makes people really, like, they don't really mind saying your name when you've pissed half the house off. So I think it's kind of a combo platter of both of those things.
Right. That makes sense. Did you think that there was any possibility that, like, Chris and Desi would have thrown Cassidy in when they won the challenge? Or were you dead set that it was going to be you?
I knew for sure. Like, for sure. Like, I knew the sky is blue, like water is wet. I knew I was going to be nominated. Mm. And it was honestly like really such a shame to me because I felt like I had burned a bridge with my friends and I felt like I hurt them and I felt it was personal. And that's like, you know, it's not, you never want to be voted in, but the fact that I felt like I got voted in because I hurt people was like kind of worse.
Yeah.
But I felt also there was part of me that was like, okay, Michelle, you kind of deserve this. So just like own it and be okay with it and get through it.
I think there's a lot of power in that.
Yeah.
Why do you guys think that Chris didn't vote for Fessy? I feel like we heard a possible theory from the guys, but just being in the house, were you shocked that Chris didn't vote for Fessy? And, you know, what do you think his initial reasoning was?
I personally think that it was because people, in my opinion, people would have been semi more likely to make it a guy's day had it been Fessy. I think some people could have flipped the script. Whereas people knew that so many people were trying to protect Josh that by Josh being the main vote, there was like basically 0% chance that it was going to be a guy's day.
Mm, interesting.
That as like a final shot at Fessy. You shoot at Fessy, then who knows? Maybe some people will come in and be like, maybe it is a good idea to vote Corey or Bananas and just snipe out a big
yeah.
having Fessy as the main vote. Mm, you never know.
Yeah.
So I thought that could be part of it.
Huh, I never would have thought that. Tori, what about you? What do you think?
I think it was a little bit more personal than strategic. I think that Chris was in the same bedroom as Corey, and I think he wanted to be boys with them the entire season. I think this was kind of his, like, hey, guys, like, be my friend, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think Chris was kind of desperate for friends, and, like, he would fall asleep looking at Fessy. And I think that, like, when you
Stop
do
Stop it. Stop
it. That kind of way, you know what I mean? But just, like, you know, when you close your eyes next to somebody in a house where you feel lonely, you start to trauma bond with them. And I think I think he was trying to build a friendship. I think ultimately it was a friend card.
We heard Corey reference, which I thought was interesting and was sort of my initial thought process, which is, like, look, Josh hasn't won a daily this whole season. And so with throwing Fessy in, there's a good chance he may come back or there's a good chance he may come back and then win a daily next week and then go after you. Where it was sort of like, look, if it is a guy's day, Josh does happen to come back. What are the odds of Josh coming back and winning a daily the following week and therefore having power? Which I thought, oh, okay, that, you know, that definitely makes sense that he felt like maybe it was the less risky move. Yeah. But I think I like your theory just wanting to be BFFs with the guys. Yeah,
I think so. No, it was probably more strategic. But
all three of them, him, Corey, Fessy, Corey, and Josh, he was like butt buddies with the whole season. So,
yeah,
I think he was bummed by all of them turning on him.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. I think it's interesting, though, watching Josh take it, right? Because we obviously see this emotional side, which I love about Josh. I think more men should cry. I think it's a beautiful thing. And I love that he expresses himself in this one in such a positive way. He's not freaking out. He's not banging pots and pans.
Yes, he's gotten better. He's gotten better.
I did like that snippet of him banging pots and pans. I enjoyed it. So, you know, I'm not saying that we need to see that side of Josh again, but it's nice to flash back to it. And I ultimately was like inspired by his desire to go down in the sand next week and be like, you know what? I want to take Chris out. Like, I thought.
But we've seen that play out in the dumbest of ways. Like, why would Josh put, I mean, I don't know. I get it's entertaining to watch, but it's just like, hey, bruh, just try and make it through this week. All right. And then we can see what happens in next episode. But let's not go volunteering ourselves or saying things that we might regret, you know, in the following week. Just to prove a point. Like, isn't the ultimate point to prove to someone, aside from beating them in elimination, winning the game or making it farther than them? So, like, why would you ever nominate yourself in?
Total madness. I nominated myself against Jenna and she beat me by 2 seconds in a 45-minute brick smash.
Oof.
Yeah. Brutal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, not smart, but also kind of heroic to watch. So I give him his credit. And also, we're not there yet because he's still here because, unfortunately, Michelle, you had to go into the elimination. And when you walked up and you saw what it was, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm from Jersey. I know how to drive. This is the steering wheel. I can parallel park all day. Bet. I don't don't know. I was like, what the hell is this friggin' thing? I was like, great, a contraption. Okay. Just never would know what TJ's going to come up with, to be honest with you.
I know, dude. It's wild. Did you feel like your strategy shifted once you recognized what the game was? Because we see you get one of those things. And yeah. And ultimately, what led to you not being able to get the rest of them?
Probably my lack of like bicep curls prior to this season. Mm-hmm. They have, I don't know. You know what it was? My grip strength like is yeah. just not there. And so you'll see me like using like spokes in the middle. I should have been holding it like this, but mm-hmm. I didn't have the grip strength to hold it from the outer rim of the steering wheel. And that's where you get like probably the most leverage, I would think. I don't know math very well, but.
Well, we see Cassidy using her body too, or she explains her strategy, right? She was like using her leg partially to try yeah. and, did you consider that at all or?
I don't think I was considering much. I was kind of just like fight holding on for survival for yeah. dear life. Yeah. You know what? Once she had like four and I just like knew I was kind of slipping, my mental shifted in not really the best way.
Yeah, it looked like you gave up a little bit.
It's never how you want to feel. You never want to let yourself. Whereas Chris had mentioned with Cassidy, she like kicked it into gear.
Right.
So I was like, fuck, this sucks. And then once your mental's there, it's like, yeah.
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 It was embarrassing. But honestly, I was like, get me out of this hellhole. Over it. Everybody hates me. I've been crying all day.
Tom Holland doesn't. No one can take that away from you, Michelle. No one can take that away from you.
So true. But there is a point I feel that I've had on every season that I've been on so far that I just realized like, okay, this piece washes over me and I'm kind of like, I've done all that I can do in this game. And emotionally, I'm like checked out. Like I can't do another minute of it. Mm-hmm. And I felt that on this day. I was really worn down mm-hmm. and I was not feeling it. I was not liking the energy and the vibe and my vibe. And I was like, yeah, I was just not in it.
Dude, it was sad to see you go, man. You were definitely like one of my only female friends that I know I had on lock in the house for a long time in the game. And I mean, that's why you see all of us vets come down and like bear hug you at the end. Like it didn't feel good to go back into the house without you. And we were praying it was over too. Well, all of us were exhausted at this point, you know?
I know. It was like the final stretch and we didn't know. I thought that I was going to walk out that door and they were going to be like, everybody's in the final. So I'm like craning my ear. Like, oh God, they're about to announce it. They're about to announce it. When they didn't, I was like, all right, at least these assholes have to go back. I don't want to any more like slippery oil pits. Like I'm done. No more trampolines. Like count me out. I'm gonna go cut off my dog and be done with this.
Can we talk real quick before we let you go? We got to talk about the trampoline because it was the best thing ever, dude. You looked like the cutest little kid in the McDonald's play. But like,
okay, in fairness, they played that out of order, and yeah. I was the first one to go, so I didn't see the strategy of the other people, but let's be really honest, even if I had seen the strategy of the other people, like, I always shit on my mom for not getting me a trampoline, because I always wanted one, and, like, I can find a way to blame my mom for anything, and mom, just know, I blame you for the trampoline instead. I'm just kidding, but no, she's great. But really, I feel like I would have been more prepared had she got me a trampoline when I had begged for one all throughout middle school, you know?
Mm-hmm. I get it. Do you feel like you're going to add that to the list of things that you want to work on? So that way, when you come back for another season, you have more under your belt.
Well, I really only had about a week between ending filming this and starting up the next season. So unfortunately I didn't hit the trampoline parks. if we find trampolines in 39, don't consider me any more seasoned than I was.
There's time, but now, dude, though, Michelle, you can order one on Amazon now so you can be ready for 40 or any of the upcoming seasons after that and get your trampoline game on. But we saw the trailer, but we saw that you're in 39. Is there anything that you can kind of just hint that we might expect as far as how that game goes or what we should expect to see?
It's a very interesting season because a lot of the people who have always been sort of like the sideliners, mm-hmm. like people who have been picked off, now have their time to try to figure out how to navigate, get a game that they're not the underdogs anymore. Mm. You know, they're able to figure out how to play from a position of power or strength or whatever. And they don't have to be under the thumb of like people who have run seasons and seasons together that have history. And so it's a much more unpredictable sort of game. And I think it'll be fun. I think it's interesting. We get to see a few cameos from some of our favorite champions, which is always fun. A few of them have some choice words for me. I think it's going to be a great season. It's nice to see the personalities of people that usually like go home early, mm-hmm. get to develop. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of love. There's a few fights.
Ooh.
There's a little bit of everything. Everything that makes a challenge spicy is on this season. So it should be good.
Love that.
If you're there, there's got to be a lot of fun and fights and Michelle Downs and also maybe some female kisses. We saw that Cassidy won this season. We get any more in the
yes,
future?
Yes, Michelle. Yes. Maybe that's what I should be asking. Where do you and Cassidy stand at this point?
I'm glad that you asked that because we're about to go Instagram official.
You heard it here first, guys. You heard it here first.
No, but I wouldn't be surprised if on night one I do find myself and some rambunctious actions.
We love to see it.
Tori's not there, so somebody has to carry the baton of being crazy, yes. doing the twerking. So I just decided I'll do it for her, in her honor.
I bestow love upon that. You the tour bag. Well, Michelle, it was seriously a pleasure talking to you as always, dude. Your light is so bright. Don't let any of these haters get you down. Even if your gameplay changes up season to season, you always come back better. And we're always going to be excited to watch you play. You have a heart of gold. So where can people follow you on Instagram and support you and watch this launch of you and Cassidy's relationship?
Where it all began.
Yeah, you can stay up to date with me and Cassidy on Mishfit. Expect, you know, our relationship soft launch within the next week, I would say. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Mishfit if you're into Twitter or X or whatever it is. But to be honest, that place is a cesspool, so just stay off that.
And we'll be looking for the t-shirts, Michelle.
You know what? I hear that I'm partnering with the Soul Spill. And so when you get a book of the Soul Spill, you're going to get a Michelle Town t-shirt with it. So
love that.
Look for that soft launch on my Instagram as well.
We are going to, we're for real going to collab on that one. You're stuck with me now. Have a Michelle Down and then read this book to feel better.
Exactly. It's perfect.
Celebration of a lifetime.
Aww. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for coming on the show. We love you, dude. It's been a blast talking to you.
Thank you. Honestly, always fun. I'm sure I'll see you guys next season when I probably inevitably fuck up again.
Looking forward to it, Michelle. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks, girls. I appreciate it.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Well, that was an episode. And by an episode, I mean a meltdown.
That was an episode and a half.
Oh,
episode and a half. People just turning on everybody this episode.
God, I mean, I'm thankful that we were able to talk to Michelle. And honestly, like, it feels heavy on my heart to hear her go through, like, feeling the regret and feeling like she betrayed people. Ultimately, like, it is truly a game. And we do lose sight of it. Everyone is playing for however much, $250,000. And like,
right.
Listen, you're going to take things personally, but you just kind of keep moving on from it. So hopefully she can just take it and grow and continue to go, you know?
And I think she's hard on herself this season. Like, I think she played a pretty smart game. Like, yeah, there was some messiness, but I'd say good job, Michelle. Good job.
I think so too. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously we already gave away gold stars, but I think we could give her one to go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
I'm excited to follow her journey and see,
so
you know,
Tom
how
Holland.
39. Yeah, it's the other. I hope Zendaya is not jealous. I hope Zendaya watches it with
him. Zendaya. She's not going to be. Zendaya, if you want to come on the podcast, you know. Yeah. And Tom, talk about strategies.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
We're here.
We're here. We're huge fans. Zendaya, you might be the most beautiful person to grace the presence of the earth. So we would love to have.
Fun fact, my old hairstylist who used to make my wigs is Zendaya's permanent resident hairstylist now.
No.
I know. That's why I don't wear wigs anymore.
The hands have touched the head of Zendaya. I've touched
yes,
the head.
I know.
People are about to come pilgrimage to
I don't
you.
Wear that wig anymore, but I still hold on to it just because of how magical that is. Shout out to Antoinette and Zendaya. Yes.
That's amazing. Well, I hope that she comes back in your life and then we can watch it on your social media because, Devin, we want to know. We want to see it. Where can we follow you? How can we support you?
You can follow me with much less interesting info, but possibly some fun animal facts. You can go to my website, Devin Simone. That's Devin with a Y, Simone with an I, .com. At the bottom, you'll see a lot of my socials. If you're single, we can talk about matchmaking. So click the matchmaking tab. You can also Google Devin Simone and Amazon, and you can click on my gift clause, which has all my recos and favorite things, and we do live streams, so that's fun, and I'll give you a shout out too, especially if you're a Challenge podcast listener. Also, my Instagram stories, it's probably where I'm most active, which again is Devin with a Y, Simone with an I. Now, Miss Author, where can we follow along with you and find out more about your upcoming book?
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm so thankful that Michelle brought it up because it's been a dear project to my heart. It's called The Soul Spill. I just released pre-sales on October 1st. I almost said August. That's why I said it weird. But October October 1st. So yeah, if you're interested, you know, come check out my poetry. Anissa made fun of me the other day because she said it sounded like I said a poultry book. It's not a poultry book. It's a poetry book. But please come through and check it out. It means the world to me at The Soul Spill on Instagram. Or you can follow me on my regular Instagram at Tori Deal. And more importantly, guys, listen, if you liked this episode, please rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And tell a friend because we love to know that you enjoy listening to our beautiful voices.
We do, but we're not just that vain. We love to know your feedback, what you're thinking, yeah, who your gold stars are of the week and your timeouts. Let us know, and then maybe we'll give those a shout out too. And then, of course, you can catch new episodes of The Challenge USA airing on CBS.
Yes, and we'll see you back here right after for a brand new episode of MTV's official Challenge podcast.
Hey, Tom Holland.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Bring along the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to add a sprinkle of joy to your workday. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.